Hello, welcome to step one of my love addiction recovery program. So this first step is going to be explaining to you what love addiction is. Is it passionate attraction? Is it loving too much? What actually is love addiction? So before I begin, what I want to say about love addiction and passionate attraction is that it is very, very different to having a crush or an infatuation. Love addiction is the human behaviors in which people become addicted to the feeling of being in love. And if you're experiencing this now, or if you ever have experienced it, it is a longing and a yearning, just like having as strong as a real drug addiction. In research, it's actually been acquainted to being stronger than a heroin addiction or anything like that. So if you can imagine that perhaps one of the reasons why love addiction is such a powerful addiction is that it does make us feel more alive. That passionate attraction, that love at first sight, that feeling of fuzziness and warmth in the pit of our bellies when we feel that with someone. So let's begin some of the things that go on in love addiction. As I've actually said here, it's got a lot to do with the feeling that you may feel when you fall in love, and that is the feeling that you're addicted to, because it does make you feel alive, more motivated and inspired. And you know, if you felt that at some point your life felt empty or one-dimensional, falling in love or having a passionate attraction or loving too much feels absolutely all-encompassing. It takes us to realms that we never ever believed possible. Love addiction is a condition whereby we can fall in love or have a crush or an infatuation with somebody that doesn't reciprocate that emotional response. So that if you're feeling it, you might, you know, what often occurs is that that other person may not respond to you in exactly the same way as what you feel for them. They may not give you a sense of, you know, so that you feel that you're deeply connected to them, but they may not be for you. So love addiction has a great deal to do with the fact that that feeling isn't reciprocated. Often it happens when people are quite unavailable, or the main thing, and we'll be going through this quite a lot in this whole complete program, it may be that you can feel that love addiction for somebody that you've met online, that you've never actually met before in person. But at the same time, just looking at their face or their features or even their eyes or their smile can immediately fill you with a sense of completeness, and this is it. I found my soulmate. This is love. But of course, you don't even know this person. But it's to do with what it feels like inside of you. So even though some of this program is going to be talking about people that may constantly have cycles of love addiction in and out of all their relationships, or it might be that you can become love addicted or be love addicted right through a very long relationship or a short relationship, whether married or cohabiting together, or you may experience this profound sense of love with somebody that you don't even know, which means that that other person, for the sake of this program, I'll be calling it the person of addiction, hasn't a clue what you feel about them. They don't know that you're having these feelings, and you, of course, would hide those feelings for fear of them finding out, or embarrassment, or shame, or we'll hide it at all costs. And that's the problem with love addiction, because when we feel it, it can, if that person knows or doesn't know, be one of the most exposing feelings that one can ever feel in the human relationship, because it makes you feel naked, alone, a sense of feeling that you so long for that love to be reciprocated, or if it is online, you would do anything to know that that person is feeling this same deep connection and this same longing and yearning as you do. Then you could walk off into the sunset together. But sadly, for people that do suffer from an addiction to love, it has often to do with the fact that that person isn't present and isn't available, or at all costs avoids that feeling of being drawn into that, because it is noticeable no matter how much we try and hide it from our partners or somebody that you may have met online or in a brief encounter at work or somewhere else. So just to go to some of the other steps in what is love addiction, as I've said before, it is like a mutual crush, an infatuation of falling in love. But my point is that this doesn't necessarily mean that you're suffering from love addiction, and that's really important. And one of the reasons I say this, I remember some months ago I gave a presentation in front of several people, and at the end of the presentation, I think many people, well, they had their hands up to ask me the question about, and was speaking about their daughters that may only be 16 or 17, was in the middle of a crush at that moment, or suffering from or feeling an infatuation. So whether it's your sons, your daughters, your friends, or what it is, I want to try and explain the difference between a crush, a mutual crush, or infatuation, and put that up against the difference about what it is in love addiction. The difference is that to have a mutual crush or a crush or an infatuation can also be terribly painful. Many years ago, we used to call it puppy love, and it is that real innocent and naive sense of being 10, 12, 13 or 14, and you have a real crush on somebody at school. The difference is that love addiction is something slightly different to that, because it's about not being able to accept that that person doesn't feel the same way about you. Or love addiction has an obsessional element to it. It has an element of not taking no for an answer. So if that person was to say to you, look, I don't feel this way about you, you can't take no for an answer. You might start searching online to find out more about this person if you've met them online or they don't know you feel this. You might begin to want to find out everything about them. And it has been known that people even stalk people, you know, the love addicted person, follow them to feel them and touch them and to get to know their day, hiding behind trees and bushes. I mean, it is so that you can already feel that love addiction is very different to a mutual crush or a crush or an infatuation or puppy love, because it has a compulsive feeling to it. And of course, if that person that you have that attraction on, if you're love addicted, if they sense this longing and yearning in you, the problem is they're more than likely to become love avoidant. But again, we'll speak about that a little bit later. The person that's addicted to love will often choose people that are emotionally unavailable, emotionally distant, and often show no interest in you if you have experienced this or if you are experiencing it. And for the sake of this program, we're going to be calling that the love avoidant partner. The problem is, if you've met this person online or in the workplace or in a supermarket or just passing in the street, they may not know just what you feel about them and how intense this feeling is. They may not have a clue at all what you feel. Now, and so embarrassment and shame, as I've said before, becomes a huge thing in love addiction, because there's no way you want that person to ever find out that you feel so vulnerable and so much longing for them, because perhaps deep down you may know that if they knew that, they would run in the opposite direction. And so this is love addiction, falling often deeply in love with people that are unresponsive or unavailable, which reinforces some of the symptoms of love addiction, which I'll be speaking about a little bit later. Love addiction has a lot to do with the fact that you can obsess about someone and can't let them go, even if your love is unrequited. And it's as if, even if this person was to say, "Would you please don't do this, I'm married, I've got children," it's as if you still can't let go. Just to do a slight detour here, there's something that Dorothy Tanner said, and this is so key in this part of what I'm speaking about here. Dorothy Tanoff talks about the fact that the only way love addicts can actually break the habit just like that, as if they're falling into a, it's like going cold turkey, they just sever it off. If the person of addiction that you've got this projection on gives you irrefutable evidence that you are not going to be with them, so it's quite curt, it's quite abrupt, it's absolutely clear that no gaps can come underneath the door, this person is unequivocally not interested. I'm sure when some of you hear that, some of you might be recoiling right now. So I'm giving you this so that this part, all these steps that we're going to go through, are an educational program that will make you feel that you've got the knowledge, so that if you do have any of these feelings, you'll be able to read the other person and get that evidence without them having to say these words to you, because it is an extremely painful thing to hear, because rejection sits at the bedrock of love addiction. The love addicted person is dependent on and enmeshed with and compulsively focused on taking care and rescuing that other person. I think why this part is so important in what I'm talking about now is that if we human beings feel that somebody needs us, or that we're rescuing them, or that we're saving them or helping them with their business or anything, and they can become dependent on us, then somehow, somewhere along the line, we can reassure ourselves that that person does need us, that that person is dependent on us, which then, for the sake of this program, would lead into codependency. Codependency and love addiction, if you're in a relationship with a partner that's a love addict, or if you're a love addict, that codependency and love addiction somehow fit together like a glove. Why is that? Now, this isn't for the people that have met somebody unbeknown to them online or outside in the world or in the workplace or in an educational setting. That's not what I'm talking about here. Codependency happens when perhaps you may be in a long, you've been in a relationship with somebody, you've attached yourself to that person, you've gotten used to that person being around, their scent, their face, their eyes, their immediacy. And I'm going to speak about attachment a little bit on, but it's as if you've emotionally attached yourself to that person. So the enmeshment and fusing and symbiosis happens as if you've kind of overlapped, if you can imagine that. You've overlapped and you can imagine that little acorn in the middle there. That is where you both overlap. And so codependency has a lot to do with becoming one. I'm trying to remember the quote from Wuthering Heights. And when Catherine and Heathcliff, Catherine says, "Why, Heathcliff, you are more like me than I am like me." In other words, you become like each other. And so you attach yourself to each other, symbiotically fusing. So when I speak about enmeshment and being compulsively focused on rescuing, the rescuing and the sharing dramas with one another, or attentively listening to your partner or relationship or marriage for hours, somehow builds on the codependency. And so you're not only in a love addicted attachment, but you're in a love addicted attachment, codependent relationship. But please don't give up. I see this all the time in my practice here in the UK. I know that wherever you are in the world watching this, there are therapists that can help you with this. Because the reason I say that, it's something about beginning to love yourself. Now, I don't mean that in the cliched self-help book way. This recovery program is going to allow you to really understand what that means. So it has more to do with self-validation, self-generosity, self-reliance, and loving in the right way. And then when we can begin to do this, and this is what I work with in my practice all the time with people, when we can begin to do this, the codependent becomes two individually separate people that can enhance each other's lives. You're still emotionally attached. You still may share a deep, connected, emotional attachment to one another or bond, but it's not a matter of I can't survive without you, or if you leave me, I can't survive without you, because the codependency is so fused with them. You're both codependent, so leaving that person, no matter how bad it is or difficult it is impossible to even think of. And for the sake of this program, don't even go there. Just listen to my words, go through the program, go through the visualizations and the imaginary stories and read my ebooks, and you know, give yourself to the end of this program and you will feel different. And something will definitely change, and I can assure you that. I suppose I'm pausing here because codependency has so much. I mean, we don't even know when we're becoming codependent, and somehow humans will naturally become one with one another. But this kind of codependency mixed with love addiction is literally when couples move into conflict or dispute or rejection, abandonment or love withdrawal, and they going through the most debilitating sense of abandonment and rejection and heartbreak, but they can't get out of it. I don't know if that makes sense, because love addiction mixed with codependency is extremely difficult to break. Not impossible, because that's what I do every day with my clients here. But as I was saying, coming back to the self and beginning to have a good and rich relationship with yourself and working through self-validation and self-confirmation. Now, love addiction can happen to anyone from any walk of life, male or female, actresses, celebrities, actors. It can experience and suffer from this infliction of the heart. So love addiction isn't just something that happens out of nowhere. Love addiction can happen to anyone. And again, for the sake of this program, when I speak about love addiction, I'm putting that in a little cocktail, if you can imagine, with jealousy, insecurity, rejection, abandonment, and anxious attachment. So love addiction, whilst we're speaking about it, is made up of all these different components. And that's why it's so, you know, that so many people, if they break, you know, off with their partner, if you've been in a long love addicted or codependent relationship with someone, or if you're experiencing some of these side effects of love addiction, some, you know, because you've met this person online, some people that are going through this, it just creeps up on them, and the longing is so acute and the yearning that it does begin to take you over. So it doesn't come as any surprise to me that this can happen to celebrities and actors and actresses and people from all walks of life. While I'm on that subject, this same subject of who can fall prey to love addiction, one of the things that keeps us love addicted, because at the opposite end, if you're with a love avoidant, you will begin to experience love withdrawal. And I think that that's the thing that makes the symptoms and side effects so acutely debilitating, because love withdrawal, as I've mentioned before, is literally like coming down from a drug, but a drug that, it, as much as it can make you feel euphoric and ecstatic and high and happy, can make you feel that you're looking over a precipice if you're facing that. I know as I'm speaking to you now, you may be filled with, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to get through this? But it's really important for me to convey to you that knowledge is power. That's why I'm very nitty gritty going to go through this step by step. And it's as if my real philosophy is that if we understand something, if we've got the knowledge to understand something, that leads us towards our own sense of self-empowerment, our own sense of individuality, and our own sense of emotional freedom. So I know I might be painting a very kind of brutal picture to you, but I'm doing this for a particular reason, and as you'll understand it as we're going through the program, especially when you get to the imaginary stories. Now back to rejection that lies at the core of love addiction. Now the reason this one is so very important is that that is everything. Love addiction, when it's not going well, because it might be unrequited, because it's unavailable, rejection is almost a certain. And through this recovery program, I'm going to help you to deal with rejection, to help you understand rejection, and to help you through this, so that if somebody was to say to you, I'm not attracted to you, or I'm so sorry, I don't feel the same way as you, you are going to survive. Marilyn Monroe, one of the most beautiful women in the world, suffered from feelings of rejection, and she was one of the most beautiful women in the world. Rejection is all about how we can deal with somebody said, not that they're going to say it, I wouldn't want that at all, but if they do, it doesn't mean to say that you're not going to survive, that you will survive this, that this is a temporary thing that you're going through. the reason I'm labouring this whole thing about rejection is that if it's not reciprocated, if your love isn't, and more often that it isn't, which is causing the love addiction, if love isn't reciprocated and it's unrequited, the pain can be intolerable, which can lead to abandonment feelings, primal abandonment, heartbreak, and I would even go as far as saying grief. Grief has so much to do with this whole process, because when we're feeling rejected or we've been up there on a huge high, ecstatically feeling that we've found our love, rather like Gone with the Wind and all these romantic old classic films, it's as if we feel that we've arrived somewhere and suddenly somebody's rejected us. And so it literally is as if I explain it, or some of my clients explain it. It's like something being amputated, as if a part of you has been severed, because the love withdrawal, which is a symptom of the rejection, then leads to heartbreak, then leads to primal abandonment, which causes the symptoms, which I will come to. And so rejection, I would say, sits at the core of love addiction. Now, finally, we're coming to the end of this tiny part of the program. Fearing abandonment and loneliness, the person that's addicted to love will stay in and return to even the most destructive and painful relationships. But remember what I said before about codependency. That's the reason we stay in relationships, that as much as we can be euphorically happy and fulfilled with this person, and within seconds we can all of a sudden become, I can't bear this, the pain is unbearable, I've got to get away from you, all conversation is betwixt and between, and the dysfunctional communication spirals us out of control, and we think, I just got to get away from you. But yet, you feel clung like cling film. It feels impossible to leave this person, because the fear, as I've said, this fear of abandonment and being alone, and the fear of facing that precipice and looking down over the precipice alone, you'd rather stay in it than risk falling over that precipice. And that is the power of love addiction, or the power of fearing primal abandonment, which leads to panic and anxiety. One of the things that I think I'm speaking about here is that relationships, even when you know that that relationship isn't good for you, you still can't leave it. You still pray that the next day will be a better day. Maybe their mood will change. Maybe my mood will change. Maybe these dysfunctional communications won't go around and around and around. So it really is a feeling of getting to the point that you understand this fear of abandonment. And a lot of my imaginary stories after you've been through these steps are going to help you with centering exercises and helping you with that little you, that abandoned you that fears so much of being alone and somebody just walking away and shutting down from you and becoming completely and utterly closed off, which of course I have to say is one of the most painful things when somebody's suffering from abandonment and love addiction that they can go through. Somebody that just emotionally shuts down, locks you out. A terribly painful place. Now, in this next part, what I've done here, this is what I would describe is what love addiction sounds like. This is an audio tape of somebody on the phone. So for this part, I don't want you to identify with it because it's just a short couple of moments, but I want you to listen to it and listen to the tone, the begging, the powerlessness, the neediness, the desperateness. Please don't leave me as I won't survive-ness. Abandonment at the core. But remember, I want you to listen and come back to your center, and I will see you and continue this step one part after this part. So thank you for listening to this part. And when you hear this audio, it's so important that you don't identify with it, because by the end of my recovery program, you will see a way through. I'm doing this for you to disidentify so that you're hearing it, you identify with it, you're doing a recovery program, you're undergoing these steps to know that you will never go back there again, that you will never face this intolerable pain ever again, and you'll feel more empowered and stronger. You will love again, and you will, or love in the right way is another way that I put it as I go on through these steps. But you won't be a slave to this again. And that's why I want you to take some deep breaths, listen to it, and let it go. Thank you. I'll speak to you very shortly. Thank you.